everyone. I'm so happy you've tuned into the show. Whether you have listened before or you're brand new, I'm so grateful for you. You have no idea. And this episode is brought to you by my Become Aligned course. And podcasts are amazing. And I know that you know that because you guys all listen to them. And I do too. And sometimes they are not necessarily enough because while we're listening, sometimes we're passively listening and we're not actively listening. So the reason that Chris is my husband, the reason we've created this course is because we get asked so many questions outside of the podcast on how we started living the life that we live now, a life of happiness, of abundance, of really understanding that life is always full of problems every single day, but there's always a solution. And how do we shift back into a mindset that's going to keep us happy, keep us together, keep us successful, and keep us in thriving relationships? And that is what our Become Aligned course is about. You guys, we cover everything from mindset to the rituals that we do every single day. We talk about different energy sources that's really going to provide you with lasting energy. We talk about your purpose and what that actually means, what it is, and how it's ever changing. We're going to tap into your beliefs. We're going to show you how to build a tribe to support where you're going. And we're definitely going to talk about wealth, abundance, money, all of the good things, and how to sustain all of this. Because while, like I said, podcasts are absolutely awesome, you don't necessarily sit down and actually write out a plan for yourself. Because as much as I can sit here and tell you on the podcast what we do and how many different people that I can interview, it's important that you actually learn how to apply these things in your own life. So if you've been listening for a while and you are ready to go deeper and you really want to get some direct training and be able to dive into your life and yourself and your mindset, this is the course for you. I don't know about you, but I absolutely have points in my life where I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I hit walls where I don't necessarily feel happy anymore. And I haven't sat with myself long enough. I haven't really let myself think. I haven't written out how I actually feel. And so many people who took this course said that it was completely life-changing. And they revealed a lot of things about themselves, about their lives, about their relationships that they weren't really looking at or they were avoiding. And it's about having those tough conversations, not only with other people, but really with yourself and knowing that you have the tools and the access to the tools. And we're going to teach you all of the tools that you need, not only to move through things, but to actually thrive on the other side. So you guys, I would love for you to join the Aligned community. It's such a special group of human beings and you get lifetime access. This is 9 different modules where you're going to be working through each area of your life at your own pace. So you might need something on abundance. You might need more on, you know, money. You might need more on your purpose, on your tribe. This is where you can really go deep on exactly what you need and make sure that you're not missing any of your blind spots. If you are feeling stuck or if you are wondering how everyone is doing it and how they're managing it all, this is a truly honest course about how to have a thriving life and manage and deal with all of the different problems that do come up in your life and understand that not everyone is going to support you and not everyone is for you and you are not for everyone. And that's okay. It's finding your people. It's forgiving yourself. It's creating a life of abundance and choosing your own purpose and your happiness. So you guys, you can go to becomealigned.com. That's becomealigned.com. And you guys know that because you're listeners, I'm going to give you an awesome deal and an awesome discount. And I cannot wait to see you in that community. And also let me know if you join because it is such an awesome, awesome community. And also I'm really proud of this course. Chris and I poured our heart and our soul into this. Everything that we've done, everything that we've learned, we've invested so much into ourselves that this is everything that we have applied in our lives. And if you want to know how we've done it, we put it all on the table. We've put it all in this course. So if you want to know, go check it out at becomealigned.com. So let's get into the show.
If you have fear, you can't really have faith. So I learned that unless I'm standing on faith, that I'm living in fear.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Welcome back to the show. And today my guest is Erin Mullins Sanderson, and she is known as Fit Rocker Chick. She's an internationally recognized style influencer, non-toxic beauty junkie, skilled musician, thyroid health advocate, and online personality who has shared the stage with acts like Evanescence, Hailstorm, Candlebox, and Skillet, with songs featured on MTV, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Fuse TV, and so much more. As the author of Energy Eats and the creator of She's a Rock Chick Girl Gang, and her highly anticipated new skincare line called Skin, it's her no BS approach to life that has attracted an online reach of over 300,000 people and allowed her the opportunity to help thousands of women gain confidence and become the woman they want to be. So when Erin's not hanging out with her husband and her fur babies and her virtual girl gang, she's probably watching Lord of the Rings, researching a natural alternative for Botox, or buying tickets for Aerosmith's upcoming Vegas residency. So she has built her tribe on authenticity and talking about the things that most people won't. And I will tell you guys that we talked so much about figuring out what your passion is, following your dreams. We've talked about confidence. We talked about pivoting into different businesses. We talked about thinking that you need to be in your own lane, except you have so many different parts of you inside of you. How do you go from one thing to the next and really dance in all of the dimensions of your personality and bring those forward? So you guys, I can't wait for you to listen to this conversation. And here we go. Erin, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I've known you for a long time, but just because of mutual friends, we've never actually met. This is the first time I'm seeing your face, like face to face. But yeah, I feel like I've known you for a long time.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Hopefully it's been good for you.
It's been great for me. It's been great for me.
Oh, I was literally just listening to a bunch of your music as I was kind of, you know, just learning more about you. Oh my God, I love your voice.
Thank you.
I love
it. Thank you so much. Music is so cool.
Isn't music so cool? I was like, oh, I feel like I'm really getting to know her right now. And that's a whole other thing to talk about, because I feel like even the journey to be able to express yourself in that way, especially on social media and in person, is, you know, you have to do a lot of work around that just to even be able to let that part of you come out, because it's such a vulnerable part.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I remember the when I first started getting solos as a kid.
Yeah.
I would stand up there in front, you know, in front of the stage, in front of the audience, and I would sing. And my mom, after the it wasn't really a show, you know, I was like a teenager or whatever, but she would say, "I don't know how anything's coming out of your mouth because you're not opening your mouth." Because, you know, I wanted the sound to come out, but I didn't want to be vulnerable enough to actually open my mouth to like let it out. So I really didn't know how big of a voice I had.
Oh, wow.
Until I was, you know, I found safety and security in locking myself in my mom's vehicle to like let it out to see what I could do. And then I was like, you know, you gain confidence over the years and learn that that's just a gift and you just want to use it.
Oh my God. So we could totally go into talking about confidence. But before that, I want to ask, did I see that you're from the Midwest?
You're from Michigan and I am from South Dakota.
Yes. Oh, amazing. I was like, wait, so you live in Nashville right now?
Yeah.
When did you move to Nashville from the Midwest?
So as soon as I graduated high school, and might I add, I barely graduated high school.
Samesies.
Yeah, like school was not my jam. So as soon as I graduated, I barely had enough money to put gas in my car. And I'm not even exaggerating. I drove to Nashville. Mm. I was like, bye, see ya. Drove to Nashville, figured out my life. And then on a random trip home to South Dakota to visit my family, mm-hmm. I met my husband. Mm. And yeah, and then when we got married, we moved back to Tennessee. So I've lived here a long, long, long time.
Oh, wow. It's been a while. Okay. So what was it? What were some super transformative moments for you growing up that were, you know, number one, music is such a huge part of your life, obviously. Looks like fitness is a massive part of your life as well, and yeah. wellness mm-hmm. and really helping people. You know, when I look at you and everything that's just online, basically from what I was able to learn about you too, is basically like overall wellness and confidence and getting your art out there, whatever your art means, whether it's, you know, just who you are put on the planet to be. So where yeah. do you think that that came from growing up?
You know, I mean, I agree, first of all, that that's the mission, is to just, you know, we're here to remember that we're pure magic mm-hmm. and that we are pure power and that we have everything that we will ever need already within us. Mm-hmm. For me, discovering music was, I was literally 5 years old when I sang my very first song.
Oh my God, and what was it?
It was Big City by Merle Haggard.
Okay.
Yep. Big City by Merle Haggard was my grandpa's song of, at the time, and he loved that song, and so I learned it and I mm-hmm. sang it on the on top of their coffee table wearing my Burger King pajamas.
Yes
it was a moment. And I remember feeling like it really brought the family together. You know, we had a really hard upbringing, and you know, a lot of things happened when I was a kid, and that was the thing that brought people together. Mm-hmm. They forgot, you know, I had this ability, I felt like, to make people happy and make people.
Can you share about what that, can you share a little bit about what that was maybe the tough part or the division where you felt, because that's a hugely transformative moment as a child, realizing that music brought you together despite whatever was going on.
Yeah. So my family has always been, you know, really, we didn't have a lot of money. Mm. My mom got pregnant with me when she was, I think she might have been 17, had me when she was 18, kept it a secret, didn't tell anyone she was pregnant until I was there.
Oh, surprise.
Hi, I had a baby today. So yeah, so my grandparents and her brothers and sisters kind of, you know, they took me in. I don't feel like I'm a niece to them, to her brothers and sisters. I feel like I'm one of the siblings. Mm. And my grandparents also kind of helped raise me. So there was a lot of I wouldn't say strife, but just struggle with them, like figuring out what was going on and everything. And that was the first time when I sang that song, I was like, oh, I'm here for a reason. You know, like I felt like, oh, I'm here for a reason. Okay. I fit in. Mm-hmm. This is how I fit in, you know? And then there are other instances, you know, as you, are growing up, you realize that you have something within you that kind of makes you, able to, shine your light in a mm-hmm. in a faster way. Mm. You know what I mean? Able to, people can really feel that energy. Mm-hmm. And as I struggled, you know, with, we grew up in a home with an alcoholic father, and then he ended up getting addicted to drugs, and then, you know, a whole gamut of trauma and things. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that I could cling to. And whenever I would sing and take stage, it was kind of like the family forgot, mm. you know, mm-hmm. they kind of just forgot about any kind of hard times. And it was this proud moment and it was fun. Mm.
Did it ever feel like pressure ever?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And like, when I decided, I'm the glue.
Right. And when I decided to come off of the road and stop touring, I felt like, who am I? If I'm not doing that, I have defined myself and my family has defined me my entire life mm-hmm. by this one thing. And now who am I if I'm not doing that?
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. So I want to get back to that, but take me to the moment when your music dreams basically started coming true. So you were just singing on a coffee table, but then you were on tour. So what happened in between there?
Yeah. You know, I mean, every day of my life, I would go in my room. Like I said, you know, my childhood was not great. So I didn't even feel comfortable in my own home a lot of times. So I would lock myself in my room with my keyboard and my microphone, and I would figure out how to play, and I would figure out like what I could do vocally. And I would literally, before like manifesting was a thing or visualizing was a thing, I was visualizing and manifesting me singing on big stages every day. I would visualize me winning awards and visualize me being on the radio, and those things happened. When I moved to Nashville, I really didn't move to Nashville and ever really play in Nashville. I moved to Nashville and I met people who supported me. I moved to Nashville and I found people who believed in me and were willing to kind of take a risk on me.
How did you find them? Were you sharing what you wanted, or were you sharing your vision, or how'd you connect with them?
It's so random, you know, it's so random. It's kind of like, you know, someone who knows someone, and that's it. It's just, you know, you're always just like one person away from the person you need to know. And that was it. It was like, I met one friend and one friend introduced me to another person who introduced me to another person. And that was it. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I was going to songwriters rounds and songwriter nights and kind of trying to meet people, but I didn't know what I was doing. I'm the world's worst networker. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
So what I want people to hear right now is that you're like, I'm the world's worst networker, yet you put yourself in the exact places that you needed to be. And I'm sure you said, did you tell them you were a singer and songwriter? That's all you need to do. You know,
I was just honest. I was like, hi, I love that song you played. You know, that was really great. I just moved here. I'm a singer songwriter too. Yeah. And we just came to have dinner and to see what was up.
Okay. So it's that easy. Like, really? I think that's where people get stuck though. That's why I want people to hear that you're like, I'm not even a good networker. No, but you knew to go, you knew to put yourself in that environment. You knew to go there and you knew to be like, hey, I'm also a singer songwriter. And that's all it takes. Right. I think where people go wrong is like, well, I'm not going to go in that room because I don't belong there yet. And I'm definitely not going to say that I'm doing that thing because I'm not the best singer yet. You know, or whatever it looks like. So I love that you said that. Just out there, just putting yourself out there. So huge.
I'll say it all day.
Yes. And if you do that, that's, I pray that people hear that. Like, if you do that, you really are going to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, because all this time I've been like, I'm a terrible networker. Turns out I'm great.
No, you're doing a lot more than most people. I'm like, they're not going to find you at home, honey. They're not going to find you at home on Instagram.
but I liked their Instagram posts.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So you were connecting with all of, like, you were, you know, getting these connections with these people, and they just happened to be the right people to do what?
Yeah. To help me to write better songs, to help me to get the opportunity to, you know, some of it was, you go to a songwriter's round, you meet someone who just likes you as a person. And they're like, well, sing me a song. And if you don't suck, they're like, hey, why don't you come to the next round and come up and sing a song with me? You know, I feel like if you're with the right people always know that there's room for everyone, and they want everyone to have their moments, everyone to have their chance. And so, you know, the right people give you the right chance to just kind of do your thing. And in those moments you gain the confidence and you're like, wow, I'm here, I'm doing it.
Oh my God. You said so many great things there. The right people, there is enough to go around all of the time. And I think that when you have that mindset right away, it's, you're going to find those people. It's when it's like, I always find when I'm like in that place of scarcity or like, oh my God, only one person is going to get this, or it's only one chance. It's like, that's the worst mindset ever. Cause it keeps you also from celebrating other people, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, and I feel like even down to the people who work on your team, for example, you know, maybe they don't want to run a podcast, but what they are allowed to do in their gifting for the podcast allows them to feel proud of that, feel confident in that, to use their gifts in that respect. So it's just kind of by asking for help, you allow people in your life to be able to do things that feel good
for them.
For them. Yes.
Oh my God.
It's very selfish whenever we think if we ask for help, it's selfish. It's kind of like when you ask for help, it's selfless. In a lot of respects, because you give someone else the opportunity to do what they're great at.
Yes.
You know? Like a friend of mine says, whenever I'm I'm not great at asking for help. I'm getting better. I'm really getting better at that. Hashtag therapy. But my friend says, why don't you ask people for help? Don't you love it when people ask you for help? And I'm like, yeah, I do. He goes, why would you rob them of that?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, makes sense.
Oh my God. It's so true, because I feel my best when I'm able to add value and help someone. Yes. So why in the world? And it's truly, it was a huge breakthrough moment for me of like, oh, this is why people feel like I have walls up, is because I never ask for help. Like, yeah, someone told me that once. They're like, oh my God, you have such giant walls up. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I help so many people. But then I realized I was never letting them in. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny. So that's a beautiful point. And that's also how, you know, these connections come into your life, is if those people, if you would have had your walls up and been like, no, 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 how can I help you? How can I help you? They would have never been able to connect you to the right people to hear what you can do.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Ask for help, people. Mm-hmm. Ask for help.
So tell me about, okay, so I want to hear about the moments of when those dreams or those manifestations were actually coming through. So you had pictured yourself on these stages with whomever, you know, I would love to hear who that was that you would picture yourself on stages with. But then the moments where you had like maybe a breakthrough invite to something where you were like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Or am I enough to do this? Or did that ever even come into your mind?
I never thought, am I enough to do this?
Yeah.
And I never thought, am I good enough to do this? I did think, I wonder if our paths will cross. I hope that the opportunity, you know, will happen. I can tell you, like, you know, playing shows with Evanescence was amazing for, like, I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Right
how
now?
Did that happen?
They were playing in Nashville. And they looked up bands, you know, rock and roll bands in Nashville. There's a good rock and roll scene in Nashville now, but you know, back in the day it was a lot of country.
Yep.
And so they looked up rock and roll bands and they chose us. And we were like, what the hell is happening?
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was like a serious moment of what the F.
Wow.
This is so cool. Yeah. That's amazing. Another one was when one of our songs got, chosen to be in Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I was like, this is surreal. This is so surreal.
Yeah.
It just like little moments like that. It's weird in the moment to take time to celebrate that. Cause you're kind of like, I can't even believe.
You can't believe that's happening.
Yeah. I can't even believe that that's happening.
So if you could piece it together for people though, because I'm actually seeing like a lot of like your mindset stuff throughout of course it's happening to somebody who doesn't have, you know, the disbelief necessarily in themselves or who doesn't feed that all the time, because of course it's going to happen for someone who is believing they're ready for it. And it really sounds like you believed you were ready. You were probably out there performing and you were out there like putting your talent on display and not focusing on, oh, I'm not good enough or I can't do this or I can't do that. So where did that confidence come from?
Oh gosh, that is a great question. You know, as soon as I graduated high school, I started singing on the road. Like I started touring and I've been in two bands.
Okay.
And I'm very loyal. Two bands and they were amazing. And you know, my first band was what you'd call a quote unquote bar band.
Okay.
And but I hate doing that because there's so much more than that, that you know. But they really instilled in me a lot of confidence. Whenever I met them, they helped push me out of my comfort zone. Even when I was pissed and I didn't want to do it, they would make me sing songs I wasn't comfortable singing and give me a night or two's notice and that's it. They would challenge me. When I would wear things that were safe, they would challenge me. They knew that I was more than that and they would challenge me and I would get mad, you know, and I love that so much. I mean, I have so much respect for them and I'm so grateful for them because they really pushed me. They were a little bit older than me at the time and they had a lot more experience and they saw what I could do before I did. And so I'm grateful to that experience. But I will tell you that I do feel like there was just a knowing inside me that I was meant for something early. I feel like I was just meant for something. And every really hard moment, I clung to that. Mm-hmm. Well, you're here for something. Just remember that. Even if this isn't working out, you're here for something, something bigger than you. And I knew I was good at it.
Yeah.
But I will say, with that came thinking I was bad at everything else. There's always a flip side, you know, like I knew I was good at it. And so then I thought I wasn't good at anything else for a long time. I thought I'm not good at anything else because I'm good at this.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So this probably became like massive identity. Like who,
oh my God.
So did you have moments of like, who am I without this? Or what if this doesn't work? Or what did that look like?
Oh yes. Like I said, whenever I decided to stop touring, even though it's just like, it's not like the end of music. It's not the end of singing. It's not the end of playing. It's not the end of writing. It's just the end of being like on a consistent tour.
Yes.
Even that was enough for me to go, everyone's going to hate me. I'm going to disappoint my entire family. My entire family is going to be, you know, so just angry with me and, you know, that I was the one that was supposed to do it. And I accepted all of this like faux responsibility, you know, like what a selfish ass. Like I'm supposed to do everything for everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know really who I was. And it was very dark. It was a very dark time. And I felt depressed and disappointed and lost. And then I started to question something I knew was the right decision. I started to think maybe that wasn't the right decision, even though I knew clearly within my spirit that that was 100% the right decision.
What was it?
To decide to stop touring.
Okay. Okay.
With 100% certainty, my spirit was 100% in agreement. I still had moments of, what if you made the wrong decision?
Yes.
I didn't realize at the time that, you know, God is a GPS. You can't mess it up, guys. Like you're going to end up where you need to be regardless. Like if you're wherever you are is where you need to be, learning exactly what you are learning in this exact moment. But at the time, I didn't realize that. At the time, I just thought, what the F did I just do? I was so certain. Without a shadow of a doubt.
What did that certainty feel like when you knew, like what feelings were you feeling when you knew you shouldn't be touring anymore?
Every time I would go on tour for like the 3 months leading up to it, I would have just full on anxiety. I would cry. I was sad out on the road. When I got home, I was happy. So it was when I was on stage, I wasn't myself. When I was on stage, I felt like, I'm on stage and these people are here and I'm having to put on this show and I feel like my insides are like zipped up and like I'm not allowed to really be myself because if I was myself, I would be on my hands and knees crying on the stage and people would see that what this tour is doing to me, like what being away from my husband for months at a time is doing to me and him and us and like what it's doing to my spirit. It just wasn't for, it wasn't for me and I knew that. And I went for one day when I got home from this particular stint, I went on a run and then it was hot and muggy and it was disgusting out. It was like July in Nashville. And then it started raining and I was just like stopped and I was like crying in the middle of this run and I stopped and I was like, this is it. Like life isn't supposed to be like this. I'm not supposed to feel like I have 100-pound, you know, weights on my chest every day of my life. Like I can't get a deep breath. This isn't right. And so I went home and I was praying about it and thinking about it. And I swear to you, I just heard a voice that said, you've got to come off the road. And it almost knocked me up against the wall. It was like that heavy. And I said, I've got to stop touring. And that was it. That was it. Like when I said it, when I said the thing, I instantly felt free. And I felt light and I felt like I could breathe again. But also, and I don't think I've ever said this publicly, also when I stopped touring, I stopped singing for probably a year and a half. In my mind, if I stopped touring, I just gave up my voice.
Interesting.
And in learning to like get my voice back, I feel like was relearning and remembering who I am. Like that was my moment to like relearn who I am and to like step into who I'm supposed to be. And I wouldn't have done that without all that darkness and without all that, you know, mess and heaviness.
Oh, this is so beautiful because I feel like for me, this is just such a, it's showing how we think we have one modality of feeling like us and being us. And, you know, when I was really learning about all the different things that you did, I loved it because we can come through in so many different things. Like you truly have been able to pivot and to also do a lot of different things, not just like you're a singer, stay in your lane and sing. Like you're like, yes, you're a singer, but how can you get your music out in really creative ways? Which I think is so important right now because we also know, you know, and get your music out could mean many different things, right? It could mean, how could you get you out there? How could you actually get your voice out there? Because I think it's really becoming an old school way of thinking that, you know, if we're a singer, we can only sing on the radio. And that's going to be our way of being heard. It's like now there's so many unique ways that you can, you know, be singing and be writing songs and be adding music to personal development events, be adding music to like so many unique things that don't have to put you on the road and put you in the same type of lifestyle that you may have been in. I mean, you're into wellness, you're into designing clothing, you're into skincare. Like, when did all those things come about? Because for a lot of people, they'd be scared shitless to be like, I'm a singer. What am I doing getting into fitness and sharing about fitness? And now I'm sharing about skincare. Like, who's listening? What are they going to think? Like, what made you be like all of the things?
I'm a human being. Yes. I'm a human who's into a lot of different things. And I really felt like for me, especially, you know, staying in that one lane, limited me and it kept me in a box.
Yes.
You know? And everything I wanted was outside of that box. Mm. You know, everything I wanted to be able to touch and do and provide and like things I'm really, really great at. I learned I was great at them through what I went through with not touring anymore. Yes. Like that was my time to kind of learn like, holy shit, Aaron, you're good at, I can cuss on this, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm like, holy shit, Aaron, like you're good at lots of other things that I never, ever would have known about had I stayed in that one lane. And also what I found is that, you know, the things that I struggled with aren't limited to people on a stage, you know, it's everyone, it's every woman who is insecure for whatever reason and doesn't realize that all that insecurity is her spirit refusing to get in agreement with whatever lie she's telling herself. Like that's what that is. Mm. That's what insecurity is. Your spirit refusing to get in agreement with the lie that you're telling yourself. Mm. And so I just thought, God, you know, I've always been just a little bit vain and love skincare. You know what I mean? Like I've always like hated wearing the same things as other people. Mm. I've wanted to create a clothing line. I've wanted to create a skincare line. I really care that I feel amazing and I care that I feel good in my clothes and I have energy to make it through the day. These are the things that are important to me. Mm. Yes, I sing and that's one of my giftings, 100%. But all these other things, like I can provide a lot of value for people in the world by sharing all of that. Mm. And I'm equal passionate about all of them.
Oh my God. So much of what you just said. So number one, I felt like I was in such a box with fitness. I was like, oh my God, all of the things I want to do are outside of this box. Like, and while it was great and it was providing a great platform, it was like not allowing me to do so many other things that I wanted to do, but my identity was so there. And just really talking about, yes, you're into skincare. Yes, you're into fashion. We're always in the thing that we're in for a reason. So, you know, you were put on a stage where, the fashion and your skin and everything and how you looked added to how people were perceiving everything. And it's also adding, it can add a piece of like a layer almost of being able to step into an alter ego, like on stage with that. And why can't we, I always think of that with fitness. I use that in my life now. I'm like, wait, I was able to put on a costume and step into a complete alter ego. So now I put on a costume, quote unquote, air quotes, you guys, like where sometimes it's, you know, this dress that's going to make me feel better or this hair and makeup that's going to make me feel like, okay, now I can step into my alter ego on the stage where I know some people are like, oh, I'm not into that. And that's totally cool too. But if it helps, try it on. Just try it on.
Dude, I could not agree with you more. This is the one thing I tell my community all the time. Mm. Do you think Beyonce wakes up feeling like Beyonce every day? No. Why do you think she created Sasha Fierce? Mm-hmm. Like that's why that fit rocker chick isn't necessarily me.
Right.
It's who I step into. Mm-hmm. It's me trying to become her, trying to become the woman that I'm supposed to be. It's me stepping into that and putting on that alter ego. It's, mm-hmm. it's whatever it is for you. You know, you got to suit up, air quotes again.
Yes.
You got to suit up daily. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Your feelings are bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's really about like you knowing that you are capable and strong and resilient mm-hmm. and pure magic and putting that on mm-hmm. every day. And then eventually you're going to feel more and more like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me about, cause I love this. It's on your website. I saw you have something about like, it's that choice to become her. And I've literally used those words so frequently in my head, like become her, like I can see her. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, if they're not able to see her, what would you tell them? Because I do believe with, you know, I've always been a natural manifester, like a natural dreamer, like a natural, mm-hmm. you know, just thinking of all of what I want and who I am and who I want to be. But for some people, they don't see it. Like they haven't actually been, they haven't allowed themselves to dream or see that version of themselves. So what would you say is something that they can do to start seeing that or building that or creating it?
Yeah. I always recommend people start with just today. If today was your best day, you know, your best day, what would your hair look like? What would your face look like? What would you wear if today was your best day? What would you show up to do? You know, who would you hang out with? How would you respond when your husband pisses you off? You know, if this was your best day and you want to end this day feeling really proud of yourself, how would you act? Who would you hang out with? What would you do? What would you spend your time doing? And just that like assessment of one day, you can go, oh my God, I am not doing that at all.
You know what I mean? That is, like, that's kind of the tough realization. Yes.
Yeah. You're like, well, I'm a far cry from where I want to be, mm-hmm. but you know, you mm-hmm. can start anytime. Like if it was your best day, are you wearing sweats mm-hmm. or are you wearing, you know, leggings, leather leggings, you know what I mean? Yes. Are you wearing tennis shoes because you're kicking ass and taking names that day? Or are you dressed up? It's really individual for everyone, but it all starts with just like assessing one day. When do you let something slide and you're proud of yourself for holding your tongue and practicing kindness instead of just letting the irritations of the day take over? Mm. It's those little things. That's why I know how becoming her for me, I know how she reacts. I know nothing shakes her. Nothing bothers her because she knows everything's going to work out. Mm. You know, like in any situation, she's the rock. Mm. You know, her friends can come to her and she's calm. And that's the me that I'm working towards. But for me, it definitely started with that daily assessment. Mm. Of, was I a little bit closer to her today?
Oh man, that's such a good exercise. Like really thinking about and breaking it down like that. Like how does she wake up? Does she say a mantra? Does she meditate? Like that's so much easier than like just trying to piece something together from nothing. It yeah. really is.
Yeah. Because, you know, for me, it started with, does she sleep in? No, get up. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, does she sleep in? Does she get up and pray and meditate? Yes. Yeah. You know, is she sipping her coffee before other people in the house get up? Yes.
Yeah.
Like it is individual for everyone, but for me, it's just those little tiny moments
yes.
that add up to at the end of the day, you were just a little bit, you're a little bit closer.
Oh my God. That's so crazy because I think that I think I live that way without knowing it now that I've figured it out. Cause even this morning I asked myself, cause I had a soul cycle and a coffee date with a friend where I was not feeling very people-y this morning. Yeah. I just wasn't ready to be around people and talk and connect with someone I hadn't seen in a while. And I was like, oh, I could totally cancel. And I was like, I'm not the type of friend that cancels. So I'm not going to. But I had to say that out loud. I was like, I'm not the type of friend that cancels. I'm not going to be the type of friend that cancels because I want to be there when people know I'm going to be there. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's those little moments, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
They're
it's
huge.
Not the big one. Yeah.
It's huge. Because at the end of the day, I would have been like bummed with myself that I canceled.
Yeah. And then the self-loathing starts.
Yes. Oh, I'm so good at that.
You and me both.
So what's something right now that you're working on with being like the next version of you that you're finding is a bit challenging? You're like, oh, maybe you keep slipping back into the old version.
You know, for a long time, I got very little sleep for a long time. I thought in order to be successful, which is it's such a lie. This was in my box. This was in my box. In order to be successful, you have to get up at 5 a.m. Because the early Because the early bird gets the worm. Because you never hear successful people saying, I don't know why, all the successful people out there who sleep till like nine or whatever, could you please, let's start a sleep revolution. So I always thought the early bird gets the worm. Well, I'm a sleepy person. Mm-hmm. And one of my doctor friends asked me, hey, how's everything going? This was a couple months ago. So it's fairly new. Hey, how's everything going? I said, it's going great, except I feel like I've been sleeping a lot. And he said, how much is a lot? And I said, like 9 hours. And he said, that's not a lot. Get this book. And it's a book called Why We Sleep. And I got it and it freed me from the sleep lie that I was telling myself.
It's true.
And, yeah. And so, you know, I've been integrating that into my life and not sleep shaming myself anymore. Like if I need to sleep till nine, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And so that's something that I'm integrating and learning. And it's a real situation in my head because I was told I was lazy for in my childhood if I didn't get up at five. And so I'm kind of relearning every day that just because I slept for 8 or 9 hours does not equate to laziness. And in fact, I'm not lazy at all. I'm a very hard worker, but also hard work doesn't equate to success either. Smart work does. So, you know, it's all in my mind and I'm navigating that.
I couldn't love that more. I'm an 8 to 9 hour of sleep every single night, but I get up at 7, but I go to bed early. So it wouldn't matter. I would wake up later if I went to bed later. So
yeah, I'm like a 11 midnight-ish sleeper. I'm a musician. You know, I'm used to staying up late. So
no, you know what? I heard Gabby Bernstein say years ago that she sleeps until 9. And I was like, oh my God, I can do it too. Cause I heard the same thing. There's actually, you know, I actually have some like mentors that are like 5 a.m. or bus, like legit. And they're even like, oh, 4 a.m. is even better. Why is that better? I feel like I'm going to die. I really do. I hate people. I'm mean. I eat like all I want to do is eat carbs. Like I'm not a good person. Like it's not good.
No, getting up at 4 or 5 does not get me closer to becoming her. Okay.
No.
Like, it takes me further away.
I'm so glad you said that. Cause however it works, like, I always say that to my husband. I'm like, if, you know, when we have a baby, I'm like, I am literally going to figure out the sleep thing. Even if I have to hire someone who comes in early in the morning so I can make sure I'm sleeping more. I get that I will be deprived of sleep to some extent, but for the most part, I will work harder to make sure, okay, I can work smarter and that I can like, I can still sleep and figure it out. I'm going to figure out my sleep is what I'm saying at all times. Cause it's a priority for me. And I will always, I'll figure out what's a priority for me.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend of mine who is wildly successful and she sleeps for like 4 hours a night. And I'm like, what's your deal, dude? Like,
yeah, some people can.
My body would shut down. Mm-hmm. I would wake up wanting to eat Rice Chex and waffles. Not okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important. So for anyone who's like, oh my God, I feel terrible on less sleep, sleep more. You won't even believe the type of person that you are when you get the right amount of sleep. Like I'm a freaking powerhouse when I get the right amount of sleep. And when I'm not, I feel like they take my superpowers. I'm like, I am worthless and I hate myself.
Yeah.
For real. That's the conversation.
Yeah. I was just going to say, whenever I don't get the right amount of sleep, I'm like, I feel dead inside. And also like, I hate myself. Uh-huh. So I need sleep.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do. And I think a lot of things this is a real conversation for me that I have all the time with people. Mm-hmm. I'm like a lot of, you know, and I owned a gym for a long time and I would work with people and they could not lose weight. And I'm like, well, you're sleeping 5 hours. If you could figure out how to sleep 8 hours, your appetite would be so much less and you would, you know, your body, your hormones would regulate. Like our hormones are so out of whack if we're not sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, there's periods in life. Yeah. All right. So sleep, basically, just get more sleep. Yeah.
just sleep, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So tell me about launching these other businesses. Like, what did that feel like coming from? Like, I don't know your timeline on that. You got home from touring. You know, I'm guessing that was your livelihood or creating an income at that time and going into what? Like, what happened?
Yeah. At that time, that was my income. I went into, you know, the health space pretty quickly. I always think that it's great to share what you're learning at the time.
Yeah.
At the time, I was learning to take care of myself. Yeah. At the time I was learning that I thought I was healthy, but I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At the time I was learning what real self-care looked like, mm-hmm. and you know, the mental side of it, the emotional side of it, and how holding on to so much toxic stuff in my mind manifested in my body.
Like what?
You know, into sickness. So like, you know, holding on to toxic relationships, mm-hmm. things that I knew I needed to let go of, like things in my past, beliefs from my past, relationships that I was in that just were not good for me, but I felt like I had to stay in it because what would they do? Like feeling like
friendships or like business partnerships or what?
Yeah. Like friendships and also business partnerships, mm-hmm. you know, like having that conversation of I'm not going to be on the road anymore. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for the people in my band who are used to being on the road?
Oh yeah. That must've been tough.
It felt like, for a second, I took on the responsibility of, well, if I'm not touring, they can't tour, which is not true. You know, I told myself that lie for a long time.
A lot of people take that on, right? If I'm not doing this business or if I'm not doing this thing anymore, I might be affecting other people's lives. Yeah, you do for a moment.
Yeah, but owning that responsibility long-term, you know, totally negates that they are, you know, capable human beings and it's their life. And if I felt like I needed to live other people's life for them and take care of everyone else, it was exhausting. It was too much. Yes. It was manifesting in my body, in the way of back pain, you know, thyroid issues, mm-hmm. weight gain, like, you know, depression and things like that. So I was learning how to navigate those things and really take care of myself. Mm. Not take care of myself as far as abs and glutes, but really take care of Aaron. Mm-hmm. Like take care of me as a whole person. And I had not done that ever. So I was kind of learning to navigate that. So I went into the health space. And then from there, I realized that what I'm most passionate about is helping women to become who they're supposed to be and to really call out the bullshit that women tell themselves and to help them step into who they already are and to help them own that and that explain to them by living it that they don't need anyone's permission to be who they already are. Like you don't need that stamp of approval. Like you can give that to yourself. Mm. And so that's when I created She's a Rock Chick Girl Gang, you know, and I always say that the essence of a rock chick is life on her terms. Mm. Your life, your health, your happiness, your passion, your purpose, that's on you. Like that's your responsibility. And you can rock all of that. Like you can do all of that. And you don't need anyone else's approval to do it. And now I feel like that's my life's mission is to help women to do that.
Oh man. So what do you think is, you know, cause you said right there, like it's, you know, all these bullshit lies that we tell ourselves. What do you think those main things, what do you find that they are? Cause a lot of times there's like a through line. We can kind of like hear the same thing just with a different story. What do you think those are those lies that we tell ourselves that you have to free yourself of before you can actually step into even figuring out who your version of her is?
That you're not enough as you are. Like, I don't think people understand that the same God that created the ocean, the trees, the skies, the animals, thought that the world needed you here too, right now, in this exact moment. Like, if you could just grasp that you're here, like, you are here for a reason, right now for a reason, I think you would let go of the not enough. You know, but that's the thing. People just think that they're not okay. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not okay. The way I am, my quirks, my weirdness, my tendencies, you know, that's not okay. I think they're your secret sauce. Mm-hmm. Whatever is weird about you, let's talk about that.
Yes.
You know
what I mean? I couldn't agree more.
I cannot stand it when people want to be the same or blend in. I'm like, come on, you're quirky. You've got little weird tendencies. You know, like stop thinking something's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. They're not flaws. They're not flaws. They're what's really unique and magical about you.
What happens if we don't start, you know, accepting that? What happens if we live in a box? What happens if we feel we have to carry everyone else? What happens if we live in that lie of, yeah, but if I stop doing this, they're not going to love me. They're going to be mad. You know, our life is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have money. I'm going to, you know, the kids will starve. Like all of the things we tell ourselves that keep us in that same position. What happens if we keep living that lie?
You never get to love yourself. Mm. That's it. You never get to love yourself and your spirit truly never gets to live. Mm. And that's sad. Mm-hmm. That's really sad. Like, if people would actually like step into who they are and really truly love themselves, all the weirdness, all the quirks, all the tendencies, all the little idiosyncrasies that we all have, they would learn to love those things. Mm-hmm. Everything else falls into place. I swear it. Mm-hmm. Everything else falls into place. You'll be open enough to abundance because you won't be in that place of resistance, that money can flow, mm-hmm. and success can flow, and happiness can flow, and you can create confidence in your life once you do those things.
So how does that look on the, you know, cause I hear a lot of people say this to me a lot. Like, I know people talk about worthiness and they talk about loving themselves, but they don't actually know how to integrate that on a day-to-day basis. So wake up, alarm clock, thoughts go off. I hate myself. I hate my life. Like, how do we start from the second? How do we start believing we're worthy? Cause you can hear it all day long, but how does it actually integrate into the day-to-day when you have an environment that sucks ass around you still?
Yes. Let's talk about this. I'm excited. Okay. So first things first, there is a little formula. I can't remember what it's called. I learned this a while ago from a lady named Dr. Shannon Irvin.
Awesome.
And this is the process that I use. So you wake up every day and it's like, oh my God, I'm stupid. I'm ugly. I'm fat. This is, you know, why am I here? I'm failure. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I hate myself, whatever, the whole thing. You want to write those down and say those out loud. Mm-hmm. Write those down on a piece of paper, get them out. I always write them in a row. I still do this to this day. Write out any negative thoughts. And it's first thing in the morning. Write out any negative thoughts that come up. I will say, when I started this, I had about 25 negative things that came up. And now I have like 2 to 3.
Ooh, you know, awesome. Back per
day. It takes 67 days. 67 days consistently. So you write down those things. You say it out loud. Then you say them out loud in your mind to the person that you love and adore the most. So to me, like I said them to my 5-year-old niece, Claire. Mm. I looked at her in my mind and I said, you are stupid. You're a failure. You are all the things that come to your mind.
God,
and I was dying. Yeah. I was dying inside, dying. And what that is it's mirroring back to you how you actually are making yourself feel when you do that.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But mirroring back. Then right next to what you believe in, the lies that you're telling yourself, you write what you want to be true. Mm. So I said to Claire, I said to her, you are pure magic. You are brilliant. Your existence is breathtaking in every possible way. People feel amazing being around you. You're gifted. And you say it and you write it out for 67 days. And what that does is in the brain, after 25 days, I think the negative thoughts and the positive thoughts are equal. Mm. But after 67, the negative thoughts go away. Your brain is like, okay, this is what she wants us to believe now. Because in your brain, you've just been repeating, I'm a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. I hate myself. You know, I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm all these things. And so your brain goes, okay, this is what she wants to believe. Mm. But after 67 days, your brain's like, oh, she's setting a new pattern. So this is what she wants us to believe now. Mm. So every single morning now, I get up and even if I have no negative beliefs, I write out what I believe about myself. That I am awesome, that I am gifted, that I'm brilliant, that people love me, that I am adored, that I love myself, mm-hmm. that I love my body the way it is, you know, and those things I write out and I say them out loud.
Mm. So you write them every day, like on a new piece of paper, even if yesterday was the same, you can't just go back to yesterday and like read yesterday.
No.
Okay.
And I write them on this little piece of paper that says kicking ass and taking names.
I love that. Do you do it during your coffee or what? Like right away?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. I wake up, I get my coffee, I do my meditation and my prayer time, and then I go right to this immediately. Okay.
Does your phone ever sneak in the morning? Or
no.
Do you ever? No, not anymore. You're just like,
I keep it in the kitchen. I don't sleep with it in my room. I keep it in the kitchen until I'm done with my coffee and Bible time and my affirmations. I don't check my phone.
Otherwise, what? You're anxious. What happens?
I run the risk of someone really pissing me off and ruining my group.
It's so true. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm really good with it. Sometimes my husband isn't like, if he sees something, he can grab it sometimes. And I'm like, but it affects me. I'm like, get that thing away from me because if you're affected, then I'm affected. And this is my morning.
Yes, 100%. Like my husband will like to scroll his phone at night. I'm like, I'm laying here too.
Yeah, right? I feel it.
But I can feel it. Oh, I can feel it too.
Yes. I'm like, I hate it. I feel like it's like this horrible energy. I feel like people are like waiting in line to either ask a question or tell me something negative.
Oh my God. That is exactly how it feels. It's exactly how it feels. Yeah.
Get these people out of here.
Yeah. I'm like, this is inappropriate. People are in my bedroom. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Get them out of here.
Exactly. So, oh my God. So
I just
important.
Sleep with it in the kitchen. And if I happen to glance at it, like I don't even go on that side of the kitchen anymore yeah. because when I would happen to glance at it, I'd be like, you're ruining my day.
Mm-hmm.
Already.
I know. So I just, like even looking at it, I feel like my phone is looking at me sometimes. I have to cover it, physically cover it up.
I turn it over.
It's social media is so powerful and amazing and I freaking love it. And I also equally need massive boundaries with it. I mean, it is. It's like different. Yes. It's like having different people in your life. You need to have boundaries around them. They can be amazing, but they're not going to be in your life every single second. And that's what we do with our phones. It's like access at all times from all people. No way. Nobody should have that, especially if you recharge away from people and you're a bit introverted. Yeah. Like it's really important to have that like complete alone time, which means no phone by you.
Definitely. And if you have anxiety,
yes.
If you have anxiety, put the phone down. Like put the phone away. Put in some binaural beats.
Mm-hmm.
Do your meditation. Like the phone, that's not good for anxiousness.
No, it's huge for me. I really have to control it. Okay, so then you went into you have skincare, you have some other businesses. What was that? I want to know just the beginning of like launching something that you're not sure of, because that's pretty much everyone. They want to do something different or they want to step into their dream, but you've never been here before. So many people, I literally just put up a Q&A that was, you know, and I see all of these questions and a lot of them say things like, how do I know where to begin when I don't have anyone in my life who can help guide me? I mean, I just want to really answer Google, but you know.
Yeah. Did you try Googling it first?
I know, but really, where did you start?
Yeah, you know, I always start with what I'm learning at the moment. Mm-hmm. I think everyone who's a part of any of my programs or has my products or anything like that, I'm only just like 4 or 5 steps ahead of them.
Yeah, love that.
And I think that keeps me current. I think it keeps me relevant and also keeps me really in it and in my passion and my purpose with them.
Mm.
I think it's very limiting as people, as entrepreneurs, as humans, to limit yourself to being one thing.
Yes.
And being good at one thing. And I've given myself permission to be good at a lot of things and to evolve into whatever my spirit wants to create and whatever vision I have for myself. Mm. I have a very, very, very clear vision for myself and my life. And I just go towards that. And sometimes it is scary as shit. Like, you know, creating the She's a Rock Chick girl gang was, I stood up in front of my mastermind group and I was like, hi, I have this idea. It seems like it's just really too easy because I just don't even know. And what do you think? And it was like unanimous. What the hell? Why haven't you done it already? Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. Good talk. Thank you. And then with creating skin, my non-toxic skincare line, you know, that was something I asked my community if they would be interested in. And it was a unanimous yes.
Mm.
You know, so I felt supported. However, physical products are significantly different than anything online.
Yeah.
And I've never done that before. And it was a, what are we doing? What if this doesn't work? What am I doing? I'm a musician. Why am I making skincare? Like I am not a dermatologist. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, it was all of that.
Yeah.
Just because you're creating something and you're creating something amazing doesn't mean you're always in every single moment going to be very assured of what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, you just have to stand in faith and hold tight to your vision and know that everything is going to work out. And I will say that most of my life, everything just fell into place pretty naturally. But with She's a Rock Chick and with skin, I very much had to stand firm in faith.
Mm.
And if you have fear, you can't really have faith. So I learned that unless I'm standing on faith, that I'm living in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the two businesses that I really decided I was just going to hold tight to my vision, feel the fear and hold tight to my vision and feel the fear and not make decisions based in fear, but make decisions based in faith and just keep moving forward. And I've done that. And it's been freaking amazing.
Mm.
Skin Our first launch of it sold out in 30 minutes.
Wow.
I know. I was on a chair in the sky whenever that happened. And I landed and I was like, I don't even know.
Wow. That's amazing.
But we stood in faith, right? And we trusted that this is part of my vision, mm-hmm. you know, and how could it not work out? Because it's part of my vision. So.
And that's what you have to say. Like some people might be like, oh, wow. How can it, that literally has to be like the mantra. Like this is part of my vision. So how can it not work out? And then also even going a step further, I feel like I'm in this exact place of creating an actual physical product right now where I'm just like, yesterday I had the feelings of pure excitement, utter bliss, like absolute, like, yes, this is exactly the thing. And then at night I was like, this is terrible. This is the worst idea. I can't do this. I'm going to lose so much money and I'm going to lose other people's money, like in the same day. And that night I was like, what am I doing? Like, I cannot talk like this. I cannot. Yeah. So when you say, what you just said, that should become my mantra, which I just forgot. but just, oh, if it's a part of my, if this yeah, is a part of my vision, religion. It's going to work out. And, you know, sometimes I have to take that a step further that even if it doesn't work out in how I think it's supposed to, it was still part of the vision bringing me to the next best vision.
If it doesn't work out, something better is coming, but you're spot on. That's exactly what it's like. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Oh my God, what am I doing? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, it's just a
constant battle of getting your head back in the game, you know?
Oh my God. I could talk to you all day, but we're going to wrap up here because, you know, it's that time. And I would love to know if there's anything just on your heart that you want people to know that we haven't maybe yet covered.
Yeah. You know, I think that the one thing that holds a lot of women back is confidence and that thinking that when I'm confident, you know, then you'll do the thing. When you lose weight, then I'll be confident, and then I'll do the thing. When I, you know, have this much money, then I'll feel good about myself, and then I'll do the thing. You got to do the thing. That's ass backwards.
Yes.
Doing the thing is what creates the confidence, and therefore it creates the life that you want. Mm. You know, it's you who you become in order to do the things you need to do to have the things you need to have. So confidence will never come for you. Mm-hmm. Wishing and hoping for it. Is it going to make it come for you? It's not coming for you. Okay. Like it's not happening.
It's not.
Confidence is not coming for you. You create that in every moment, in every second, in every minute, in every day of your life, when you decide that you are going to appreciate who you are in this very moment and what you're capable of and do the thing. Mm. That's it. Confidence is like, it's a flow. Confidence is a flow of you appreciating who you are.
Mm. Just play that on repeat. Just loop that and play it on repeat.
Yeah.
Because it's just the truth. Like no matter how much we want to feel good, oh my God, you totally nailed it. No matter how much we want to feel good, it's just not going to happen until afterward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quite a few times.
Yeah.
Maybe years. But you know you can do it.
And in my case, years.
Yeah. Yes. In my case, several years. I love that. So what's most exciting for you right now?
Most exciting for me right now is my She's a Rock Chick girl gang. Mm. Like the spreading the message to women and She's a Rock Chick is I have just the most grand vision for this girl gang and for these women and for them to just take the stage in their own life and for them to allow a spotlight to be shined on them and their awesomeness. And that's my passion project right now.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. I love that you incorporate all of your things with it, music and everything that you do, just pull that all in your life experiences. So where can we find you? Where can we follow you? All the fun things.
Okay. I am at FitRockerChick on Instagram. And then you can go to my website, which is just FitRockerChick.com.
Okay. Amazing. And I always end on one last question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are in passing with a stranger and it's only like 30 seconds. It's on the sidewalk or it's in an elevator or whatever it is, but it's literally only 30 seconds. And they look at you and they ask you, how can I make myself happy? What do you say?
I'll say you're already happy. Mm. Just remember who you already are. Mm. You're pure magic. Mm.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for being on this podcast. I'm so grateful for you. And
thank you.
Oh, I loved it. Whenever I can talk to like a creative out in the world, I'm like so obsessed. So you guys, if you loved this episode as much as I did, make sure you share it with your friends, text them right now. And until next time, earn your happy. Bye everyone. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.